And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
We've got like one more bite left, and then I'm good. Trying. I'm like chugging away. I got it.
I believe in you, Chris. You can do it.
It's potato bread. It's really thick.
Are you eating my cat?
No.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
This is the SML podcast. No Pappy today, at least not yet. He might show up later, but we don't know. Episode 184 of the show. We are creeping up there. We are welcoming back one of our favorite guests that we've had on, all the way from the UK, representing Drop Dead Interactive, is Jay. How are you doing, good sir?
How's it going?
It is going well for us, but I hear it's doing pretty well for you.
Yeah, it did go on its release, but in the UK anyway. It's been out for an hour and 10 minutes, so all good.
All right, so your game has been out for an hour and 10 minutes. Are you rich yet?
I will not know. I decided I would just wait for money is to be deposited in my bank, and then I shall start counting the pound coins.
So how's it feel? Your game is finally out. We had you on a couple of months ago, and the game wasn't ready to come out yet, and we just brought you on to bullshit with us, and now it's time. It is out. Your game is out. It is released. How does it feel?
It's immensely scary. Because now it's, you know, I sort of had the reviewers and stuff like that playing it for a week and a bit. And, you know, their job's to sort of get a first glance of it, you know, try and get, you know, their perspective on the game and stuff like that. Whereas gamers, they tend to want to either break the game, you know, find loopholes in the game, just, you know, various crazy stuff. So, you know, it's a scary time, and I can already see, you know, some people are already, you know, typing emails of either hate or, you know, just to say, oh, I found this bug and stuff like that. So, I'm trying to keep calm, and, you know, get ready basically to sort of jump back onto the PC and, you know, get some any fixes for any bugs that I found. So I'm just sort of a bit nervous that it may be a lot, but, you know, it may not be. So, you know, but it's definitely like an exciting feeling, but very scary at the same time.
Well, for the people who don't know, give us the sales pitch on what Gear Gauntlet is.
I'm bad at sales pitches. Gear Gauntlet is the combination of Guitar Hero mixed in with, I would say, the bonus levels from Sonic the Hedgehog, with that brutality of difficulty from something like, let's say, Super Meat Boy. Basically, it's a 2D side-scroller where your objective is to get from point A to, you know, to one of the exits. There's always multiple paths. just like in Guitar Hero, you'll be, you know, the main mechanic is basically you have to do a lot of color matching on the controller, so you'd be based with, you know, these blocks that we call barriers, and basically you have to match the color to get through them. And as the level of the game progresses, it gets more difficult, and, you know, it gets stupidly difficult. But we found that, you know, people are always addicted to how hard it is, And, you know, like, they find it very fun to be, like, enraged by the game. So, you know, even though it's sort of stupidly hard, it's, you know, very, very fun. So yeah, it's, you know, just all about competing on the leaderboards and just trying to get the best scores and the best times. There's no story. So, you know, if you like those games that are challenging, it's definitely a game for you. And we've actually added some new modes in, some new difficulties in. So even if you're not someone that's, you know, used to these hard games, there's definitely something here to be played for you. And you know, you're able to just sort of ease yourself into it and get better as you sort of play the game more.
I know. Go ahead, Chris.
It's funny because, like, when I actually sat down to play the game initially, I did the tutorial, and then I did, like, one or two levels, and then I just kind of turned to Joe, and I was like, I feel like this is the type of the game that you're supposed to play on hard. Like, and then I switched it over to hard. Because it does have that type of, like, it comes off as that type of game. Like, the way that you described it is exactly, like, the feeling that I got from it when I picked it up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, people keep saying to me, you know, they want tips and stuff like that for the game. And I always say, you know, start off on easy if you, you know, just to learn levels and stuff like that. But if you are someone that's very competitive and, you know, you like to sort of, you know, see your name on the leaderboard, you know, first position or, you know, in the top 100 and things like that, you are going to have to play the game on hard.
Noticed that. Because, like, yeah. I sat down, I went through it, like, the first two times, and I was like, why is my score, like, so low and compared to, like, everybody else's? And then Joe was like, oh, well, you have to play on the harder difficulties.
It's crazy because, you know, I was, you know, on Xbox stream earlier, and Glenn was sort of saying, oh, I just perfected that level. Why have I only got an A? I'm going to get is an A. you know, and that's sort of to, you know, an A is obviously the second best grade to get, and we wanted people to obviously feel that achievement of getting a high grade. But then it sort of says, okay, if you're perfecting these levels, then, you know, why not go up to the next difficulty and then, you know, get that little bit of extra bit of challenge. But then it means that you're, you know, able to get those big scores and, you know, basically play with the big boys and the big girls.
I think the biggest boy on the block so far has been that hairy cabbage guy.
Well, yes, I mean,
I agree.
You always get that one person that sets out to you know, 100% a game very, very quick.
the game's not even out, and he got 1,000 already in the game.
Yeah, he's already 100% in the game. He said it took him about 15 hours. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, got enough playthrough there. But, you know, he did ask me for a few tips and stuff like that of getting the best scores. And you know, he really wanted to beat my score, so I thought I'd give him that. I'm going to get back up on the top. Just you know, once the launch has got through and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, if you've got the, like, dedication and stuff like that, you know, even though it's really, when you play on Insane, it is hard. But what you get from playing on Insane is that you get a 1.5 multiplier. So you get those extra points. So it allows for mistakes like dying a few times or not getting the rare on the level and stuff like that. So by putting that extra sort of risk in there, you actually come away with better rewards, better scores. It pays off to sort of play on Insane mode.
So in all the time you were developing this game, did you expect anybody to just come in and destroy the game that quickly?
I did, because one of the things we didn't want to do is, make a game where it just felt like the game was just impossible. That was, you know, we wanted to make sure that the game was fair. And in this day and age, people expect to be able to 100% a game. Not everyone's going to do it, but it expects to be attainable. And by him doing that, this is obviously proving that it is something that can be done. So others will see this and say, okay, you know, now we can go do it. And it gives them sort of encouragement and stuff like that. So to a certain degree, I expected it to be, you know, achievable, because we wanted it to be achievable. We definitely didn't want people going away saying, oh, the game screwed them over and stuff like that. And all it means is that we now can go away, and those levels which we took out because they were just insanely difficult, we could actually bring them back in.
Oh my God, there's harder levels?
Yeah, the last level was a lot harder. Basically, the last level had maybe two or three checkpoints before. But then we decided to put checkpoints in after every certain interval, because if you died, you had to go all the way back a lot of the time. And, you know, in a way, that can feel frustrating. Your checkpoint should feel fair. So we didn't want to make it so that the checkpoints was the reason that people couldn't finish a game. We definitely will be bringing back these other ones. And I suppose from the feedback and you know, that we've gotten and we will get, these will help us sort of tweak to make these levels better and more fair. But it is going to be a lot more difficult than what they've experienced so far.
That scares the shit out of me.
Well, I mean, you know, people want extra achievements, so, you know, getting that first 1,000, I suppose, it was hard, but, you know, if you want to get those, you know, the extra ones, then, yeah, you're going to have to put the work in. But we're also going to be releasing another game mode as well, which is, again, it's an addictive game. So it's kind of in the same vein, but not. And that would just be, you know, sort of like a thank you to the people that bought the game, or anyone that sort of felt that they didn't want to buy the game because they assumed it was going to be too hard and they weren't going to get enough out of the game because the game does get quite hard after the second world and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it definitely gets hard.
So with this extra content, it's like it's free. So, you know, we're not trying to nickel and dime anyone. So it's just like, yeah, here you go, extra content, free. You know, get you know, a nice amount of time and of enjoyment out of the game. And yeah, as I say, you know, there's other, you know, who bring some extra levels in as DLC, and yeah, hopefully people will enjoy these brutal levels.
Man, I honestly can't imagine how much harder it can get, because the game has just been kicking my ass.
I absolutely can.
Yeah, but there's always those mechanics that developers will have, where they have to kind of be like, oh man, we're gonna have to take these out, because it's either, you know, you want them to get a flavor of what the game is first, and introduce them to it later, or you just don't have the time to implement them fully. So there is a few of those ideas that are sort of lying around and stuff like that, and now that the game's out, I can actually sort of say, okay, I'm going to go implement them. I do just say, you know, watch this space with Gig on it, and hopefully the support is strong, and it enables us to do exactly what we want to do with the game, and, you know, realize it's to its full potential.
Now, I've been having a blast so far. It's great to see it finally out, because you've been talking about it with us for quite a while. We've been watching you talking about it and showing it off at conventions, and I'm excited that it's finally out.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I say it was nervous, but you know, there have been people that have just been supporting us and, you know, giving me that motivation. As you say, we've gone to the events and stuff like that. So either Xbox has really been sort of at the forefront of trying to, you know, make us be as successful as we can be. And all of that basically, you know, just built up into this big sort of motivational love and support that we just like, okay, oh, we've got supporters that are doing all these things for us, you know, saying all these nice things, pushing us forward. So, you know, it was just like, the game has to get done, it has to come out, and it has to be, you know, as good as it can be. You know, all games are going to have bugs and stuff like that. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I think Chris ran into one earlier when he was playing.
Yeah, I somehow made my way outside of the level, like outside of like the boundaries that were essentially set.
Yeah, because of the way we built the levels in, we tried to sort of handcraft them and, you know, build it tile by tile and stuff like that. And I think there are some cases where we have come across, or people have pointed out, said, oh, you know, they managed to slip through one of the tiles and stuff like that. Luckily for us, it's game breaking in the sense that once you go out of it sort of messes you up. But, you know, if you don't go out of it, then, you know, continue. But little things like that is, you know, that's a case of just adding that tile back in. It was something that got missed, you know, during testing, because depending on what path you take and stuff like that,
you wouldn't necessarily run into it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and yeah, we just hope. I mean, the main thing is that we just didn't want a game where it just totally didn't work, or, you know, like the face melted off or something like that, you know.
I think my favorite part of watching Chris go out of bounds was just watching his heart sink and the sadness in his eyes as he looked at me and went,
Does
this mean I have to start over?
I had to start over. I lost my checkpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like there's no way to sort of kill yourself and sort of, you know, like reset the play. But one of the biggest requests that we've had is that people want an instant way of restarting.
I agree.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, I'll probably throw that in on, like, this button or something like that. Because there are those people that really want to get that one try so they can get
perfect run.
Well, in some ways, can you, for our speedrunning community, would you be able to confirm or deny this? When you do a full restart, does it reset the RNG of, like, some of the courses of the items, like, in the level? Or are they on a set path that are just, like, is it a global timer? Is it, like...
So basically, for people that are trying to speedrun the game, you are going to have to beat the game. If you're trying to get on there, because there is a speedrun leaderboard, and basically when you play the normal game, you just get that one timer that just is literally just for that level. But when you play Gauntlet mode, which is what you only get 99 lives to do that mode though, it will save, it basically counts up the time per level. And it keeps it until you've beaten the whole game. So there is that. But again, someone has pointed out that it would be that they probably want a speed run timer just for the base game without the 99 lives. So that's something that I'll probably be patching in as well, just so you've got that option. So we've probably split the speed run table so that there's two, one for the Gauntlet mode and then one for just playing it by itself type thing.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, I just wanted to ask that because I was just like, my initial reaction was, oh, I just got to go back and hit restart so that I can get everything back onto the regular, like, onto the regular RNG path so I wouldn't have to. There was a section where, like, these two blades kept going around. And I think they were more set, like, they were set on a global timer, but, like, every time I just instinctively wanted to hit that, like, reset because I'm just like, ah. Oh. That'll in my mind I'm thinking that I'm doing good so.
But we all know the truth, Chris.
Yeah.
So what kind of feedback have you been hearing on the game so far? You mentioned I'm one of those people who would love to see, like, maybe the view button on the controller just act as a general reset for the stage. What other feedback have you been hearing?
We've had, that was sort of the main one. There's one with, you see, you get the bonus points. There's a time to beat. There's the score that gives you a grade. And then there's some, yeah. So those are the main two. So basically, people, because you only get told them when you don't pass, that bonus, that challenge. So say this, the time says you got to do it in 30 seconds. You won't know it's 30 seconds until you fail it.
Yeah.
So basically, people want to know that before they actually get into the level. So I'm gonna add basically where it shows the level name and stuff. I'm gonna add there basically what the challenges are. For you to beat and stuff like that. Another one was someone wanted an accumulation of all your points for the whole entire game. So the best scores of every level, and potentially the best scores of every world. So there'll be like a world score. So you can just go into that.
And Harry Cabbage will still be at the top of that. I said Harry Cabbage will still be at the top of that list, too.
Yeah, maybe he just wants to see his name. He'll probably want to see his name. Whatever's still in the board. the way that the leaderboards are set up and stuff, it's so easy to, you know, get like more leaderboards on there without actually affecting the game and stuff like that, which is always nice, because one of the things that I wanted to go for with this game is that I wanted to give people a chance to be able to get on a leaderboard, because I don't know, some games like some games, and you know, you go to check the leaderboard and you're like 1,000th position, or you know, that's probably a good position, to be honest. And it's just like, I wish there was more opportunities to be able to get on a leaderboard. So with Gig on there, you've got the times to beat. So, you know, you could potentially be good at, you know, one of the 40 levels that comes with the game. You've got the scores, and you've got another 40 chances to get on there. And then, as I said, you've got the gauntlet mode. So you've got the speed run time for that one, and then it also records the amount of lives that you beat the gauntlet mode with as well, so you've got a chance to get on that leaderboard as well. And this new mode that I'm going to be adding, that's going to have its own leaderboard as well, so again, just loads of leaderboards for people to get on.
Have you considered splitting the leaderboards for the scores by difficulty instead of having all of them grouped together?
Yeah, that was a thought to do, because even when you're looking at someone's scores, like when people are sort of screenshotting and stuff like that, which is so cool to have your own game to have a screenshot, but yeah, you know, you never know whether someone's done it on insane or not until you kind of can see, okay, that score is like way higher than that one. So that's really the only way you can know if someone's played it on insane or normal or hard. So potentially, yes, I could split it that way. It would probably take a bit more effort to do that because of the way the metadata is for the leaderboards. But potentially, one of the things I didn't want to do was I was getting a bit scared, but I was overdoing it with the leaderboards and stuff. So yeah, I didn't want people to feel that they were sort of, you know, going from page to page and, you know, tab to tab and stuff like that. With people asking for it, it kind of tells me that it's something that's wanted. So I suppose it's basically getting the menu right, if that makes sense. Because what I don't want is, you know, to have like loads and loads and loads of, you know, menus of leaderboards, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So one of the games you compare it to is like the Rock Band and Guitar Hero games. Have you looked into making a mode in the game where you can actually use like a Rock Band guitar controller to play it?
I have not. Someone's asked me if they could use the actual controller to play the game. I can't confirm because I actually gave away my stuff and I never bought one for the Xbox One, so I haven't tested it. But it would probably be hard to navigate, but changing colours will be easy, obviously. So potentially, yes, I could sort of think of something that you could do that's sort of tailored to it, you know, within that world. That would be quite interesting. And it just all depends, really, because obviously, you know, with ideas like this, you know, it's always, I mean, if you look at Rocket League, for example, it's, you know, it started off as a car pushing a ball into a goal or whatever, but now you've got the basketball, you've got the hockey.
I can't wait for the basketball mode. That's going to be so fun.
Dude, I'm patiently waiting so that I can play that. And I, like, him and I already talked. We're going to do a stream of us playing Rocket League once that comes out, and we're going to have nothing but those, like, Come On and Slam, like, remix songs, like, just on, like, a loop of a bunch of different ones.
And the thing about with Rocket League, like, obviously they're able to, you know, really go to town with it because people have supported that game, you know, like in a big way. And I'm nowhere expecting, you know, Giggle to reach any numbers like what Rocket League has seen or anything like that. But, you know, obviously I'm on a much lower budget than Rocket League and, you know, there's less people on the team and stuff like that. But if the game gets supported, you know, well enough, but yeah, there's loads of ideas or things, you know, that I'd love to bring to Giggle. I mean, at one point, there was a two-player mode, so you can, like, race.
Oh, that'd be
like
insane.
That. But, you know what I mean? It was one of those things where I had to take that because it was local player, local. Was going to try and get to online and stuff like that. But, you know, one person doing this, so, because I mainly did all the code, so doing it in my spare time is very hard. You know, like having a full day's work and then coming back and then trying to, you know, put all these hours into the game and stuff like that. I just don't think I would be able to have done the game justice if I had left so much features in there. And I didn't want to, you know, sort of overshoot and then fail. So it made more sense to, you know, get the core game, you know, what people knew the game was and stuff like that, get that to a high standard and basically get that out. And as I say, all these other things which could have been in the game and can still be in the game, you know, just depending on if it gets supported and stuff. And I would definitely love to see it. And I mean, you sound excited for a mode like that. So yeah, it just all really depends on what happens, really. Journey's been good, and hopefully it can, you know, continue to be good. So that would be amazing.
Find a way to make it 4-on-4 multiplayer online, and it's the next Rocket League. It's Gauntlet League.
Gauntlet League, yep.
The other mode that I'm going to add for free, that actually could be multiplayer. I could definitely see that you could work together on that mode, definitely.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, if there was a way to make some kind of mode in the game, maybe if it was just simplified to moving up and down only and then using the buttons on the guitar,
yeah.
I think that would be amazing. It's been so, I know on the 360, every now and then you would see some kind of game come out that threw in like Rock Band controller support or just a weird odd controller. Like a game might have dance pad support in a game that you might not normally think would have it. I think Boom Boom Rocket was one that had like Guitar Hero and Rock Band guitar support. And I think it would just be cool to see a game that you normally wouldn't think would have that. Just, here's a bonus mode.
I could definitely see that working. And I'm actually like, I'm thinking I'm up for the challenge. because if I could make it so, you know, you've got the tilt to move up and down, and then you've got the colors to sort of get free. Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
My ideas are coming away. So again, as I say, you know, I don't want to sort of promise anything or, you know, get people excited about stuff, because at the end of the day, I've got to see how many people actually want gig on it, basically. You know, as I said, the love and support from, you know, the initial people like yourselves has been amazing. Even the people that work at Xbox, with the Xbox team, been amazing. But, you know, the game's been cast into the wide ocean, so, you know, we just have to see if it, you know, sinks or floats, really. But it's looking very, very positive. I don't want to make it sound very negative about the game or something like that. Everyone's been loving it, but I've always just been one of those the people that I set my bar low so that if I could really surprise myself, basically.
I think it's going to do good. The game is an absolute blast. I believe in you. It's awesome to see it come out, and it is a lot more fun than I ever could have imagined. And it truly is something that you can't get a good feel for until you play it yourself.
Well, that is the thing, because obviously, which this is actually amazing for me to be, you know, on the store page next to Dark Souls. That to me is just amazing, and one of the things Chris Charlotte said is a game is a game is a game. You know, we shouldn't be getting hidden off into one, you know, into the dirty section of games just because we don't have the same budget. So that has been absolutely amazing. But at the same time, you do have people that will say, "Oh my God, that's a 2D game. What the hell is this? I'm not going to try that." But just as you said, this is one of those games where you have to play it, and as soon as you do play it, you're thankful that you played it, because it really is addictive. And you know, there's even a quote from IGN, you know, a demanding addictive fun. When they said that quote, I was just like, wow, you know, that was like an amazing moment. And you know, it is one of those things where you just got to kind of play it to sort of see it for yourself. And it would have been amazing to have sort of had a demo and stuff like that out there to go with it, but again, you know, it's not as easy just to throw that out there and stuff like that. But the game is so cheap. It's $7.99 in the UK, $9.99 in the States, so you know, it's so cheap that you could try it, and I think you're going to love it. Other people will say they're loving it. So, you know, if you've got, you know, spare cash, I definitely say it's a game to pick up. And this is the type of game you can pick up and play, you know, play it for 30 minutes, go and play another game, or you want a bit of break from that game, put this one back in again, and then, you know what I mean, just continue that. So, yeah, definitely... Not really worth it.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you can pick it up and just play a few rounds, but 99% of the time, you're going to play one or two rounds and then get pissed and then play like 40 more rounds trying to beat it, and then your day's gone.
And then it's like, I need to feed the cats.
And it's like, now it's Thursday.
It's really crazy because the time when I knew that... People always say this. Oh, I knew this was going to be a hit, or I knew, you know, this. So I'm not saying I knew this was going to be a hit or whatever, but I took this to a gaming show. Like in Nottingham, we have these. There was this place where every month they would allow people to come and show their games there. And I made this one level. It's actually the level's called Statfeld Hook. It's on the ice world. I think it's the third to last level on the ice world, or the second to last. Basically, that was the very first level I ever made for Gigotlet. So that was the prototype level. And basically, I took it to this event, and there was a guy who died was between 50 to 70 times because he was that determined to beat the game. And it was a lot harder back then, really, really, really hard. And that's what I was saying. You know, I've sort of made it slightly easier with what's sort of out on the full game. But yeah, he was just so determined to do it, and it garnered this big crowd because, you know, when you see someone just dying and they were all cheering for, come on, you can do this, you can do it, you can do it. Oh, do you know what I mean? It's just one of those sort of moments, and you just think to yourself, man, if this one guy got so addicted to and you know, was so determined to beat this one level, which the levels last about 30 seconds on some of them, 30 seconds to a minute. But, you know, you put in an hour just to get past this one little bit. So I was just like, okay, I need to... and stuff like that. I need to sort of get this into a full game. But at that time, I ended up stopping. But, you know, everyone says, oh, how come it took so long or whatever? But I'm actually glad that I kept stopping and starting again, because if I'd released the game back then, indie games weren't a big thing. So it would have just sort of been released on PC, and no one probably would have bought it. So I'm actually glad that I delayed it and was able to sort of, you know, this idea Xbox program was able to come along and sort of put the game into where it needed to be, and that was on a console or on a platform that, you know, people care about and stuff like that. So yeah. Not saying that PC's got people don't care about the PC, but...
We talk about this a lot with a lot of indie developers. I mean, and sometimes when I say it, some people call it a dirty term, but I feel it's very, very true. When it comes to PC, I feel like there's an oversaturation with just the amount of indie games that are available to people. And I know that it can be tough to just it's tough to just be... you know, seen in this wave of, you know, sometimes frankly bullshit.
on PC for me is that you can go to Ichigo or Itch.io, whatever it's called. So I've got Bleach on my mind. so go to Itch.io, go to Steam, if you get through Steam Greenlight, you've got GOG, you know, you've got various outlets. You can just put it on your website and tell people to pay you through PayPal. Stuff like that. There's so many ways of getting your game onto the PC, and you more time you don't need to go through any ratings board. So you don't need ESRB, you don't need PEGI, you don't need any of that.
No.
So the barrier for entry is so low that it's like, oh, I want to make a game. Okay, I'm going to go put a PC. So whereas, you know, games on console, you have to vet them. You know, Xbox or PlayStation have to say, okay, this is actually a decent game. We think people will like this. You don't have to do that on PC. You can make, Poo Simulator and
put a PC and people just PC be like, oh my god, we need it.
I think people already have made Poo Simulator on the PC. I'm pretty sure I've seen it out there somewhere.
How many games do you know that go to early access and just die off?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've gotten burnt so many times with like early access and like Kickstarted games and stuff like that. I would much rather, like, I know it's a little bit tougher for indie developers to get their games out there, but I feel that I'm doing a lot better of a help by just purchasing the game when it comes out and attempting to kickstart it, and it, just because I've been burnt so many times, and there is a bit of a trust issue nowadays when it comes to like
game, and I'm still waiting for it, and I was like, never again.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you pay for a game, you should get your game. But hey, you know, that's one of the reasons why I didn't want it to be kickstarted, because I didn't want, you know, if I'd let anyone down, I didn't want that responsibility of having to, you know, finish this game especially if I couldn't. I didn't want to take people's money until I had a product that they could, you know, view and say, okay, this, I actually want this game and stuff like that. Because
right.
A lot of people, again, you know, you're pitching an idea that potentially may not work out to what you're pitching. But, you know, with programs like ID Xbox and, you know, whatever equivalents on the PlayStation, it's so easy to get your game on console nowadays. Yes, you have to be making a good game, but that is what, you know, gamers expect anyway. They want to play good games. So, you know, there's really no excuse. You know, costs aren't there anymore. People can get into games on consoles, and Xbox has just now done the whole every console is a dev kit. So
yeah, you know, yeah. What was that, like 2-3 weeks ago they activated that feature?
Yeah, exactly. So you know, like the opportunities are there, and I'm hoping that what it's going to do is inspire people that don't sort of fit the mold, because, like, for example, myself, no one believed me when I was at university that I was studying like computer science with games programming. They all assumed I was doing sports because I was like very much into my gym, which I'm trying to get back into now. And they were just like, yeah, you must be on a sports science course. And I was like, no, I'm a programmer. And, you know, hopefully by having these Xboxes that anyone can work on and develop to, it means that, you know, people that may not want to or not have that opportunity to do, you know, these programming courses and stuff like that, they may just be able to do something in their house and discover that they've actually got this, you know, hidden talent that, you know, will help produce more innovative games and, you know, different kinds of experiences and stuff like that. So yeah, it could turn out to be a very good thing.
Yeah, I'm happy to see more people have the opportunity to create games. I just hope it doesn't turn into how the Xbox 360 indie game program was, where you would see, you know, 40 different massage simulators come out at the same time.
Massage simulator.
Yeah, yes. That was. I was never a big fan of XBLIG myself, the Xbox Live indie games, because, as you say, it was something that some people would actually take a tutorial, reskin it, and then sell it. But they're actually doing that now on Steam. Jim Inquisition guy. He was talking about how people are buying assets off the asset store and just reskinning them and putting them on to be sold and stuff like that. But yeah, there was one game that really annoyed me. It was a fireplace. Like, you paid $5 to watch some fire flicker on the TV, and that wasn't a game.
No, I could get that shit for free on Netflix at Christmas time.
Yeah, right.
On a fun note, Pappy was able to make it to the show, so Pappy's here now.
Yeah.
Huh?
thing about X-Blink is that it wasn't rated by Xbox at all.
Yeah, it was all community driven.
These games that we get now, like Gear Gauntlet, it is. So you know that at least some kind of quality control has been, you know, it's been put there for the game and stuff like that. So we shouldn't have an influx of massage simulators and stuff like that. People can make them. They just probably won't be sold to the public.
I think that should be your next game after Gear Gauntlet's, just Massage Simulator 2K17.
2K17.
I know nothing about the gimmick massages. My wife's always asking for a massage, and I'm just like,
I feel like I can't chime in because I missed the beginning of this rant, but yeah, I do want to point out that we did just interview a guy who made Soda Drinking Simulator.
True. But Soda, but I mean, Soda Drinker Pro is pretty cool. So
it was another game inside the game as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was actually speaking to that guy who made Soda Drinker Pro. That's the good thing about, you know, with this whole indie community and stuff like that. People want to help out other people, you know. So, you know, sometimes even Michael from iDub, you know, he's like, you know, tweeting out congratulations on the launch and stuff like that. You know, just try and get me a bit of exposure and stuff like that, you know. So it can be quite a nice, fun community, you know, this little indie community.
Well, yeah, you're all trying to make it with your games. Why alienate each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all of my positive contribution for the day. because I want to ask you one question about Gear Gauntlet.
Yep.
What the hell do you have against us casual gamers? I mean, do you just hate us that much?
Well, I mean, originally, when, you know, there was no easier modes, but it literally was just insane mode. That was the only mode, and I kept saying, no, we've got to keep the game true to what, you know, to how it started. You know, you hit something, you die. And, you know, you kind of sort of look at the response from gamers at these events and stuff like that. They were loving the game, but there were some that just could not get past even the first level. And although they would, you know, spend like 50 deaths on that first level, you sort of said to yourself, well, you know, you want them to see the rest of the levels. You want them to see the artwork. You want them to hear the music, you know, because both the artwork and the music, I believe, is, you know, absolutely fantastic. So, you know, I've got some people that have said, oh, I've beat the game, you know. And I'm like, you've beaten the game in terms of, you know, you've unlocked those achievements for, you know, getting past the worlds and stuff like that. But to me, beating the game is playing on insane and getting those high scores. Because
I appreciate the normal mode because I'm the kind of guy who just needs to play a game over and over to get better at it. So, yeah, I played on normal and I enjoyed it. I unlocked 4 or 5 levels. I'm like, all right, now I got to hang for it. Let me go back to the beginning, try the first level on and say, oh.
One of the things that we found was that gamers were playing it, and because they were dying, we didn't know why they died. Even though it's to me, a very simple concept, you know. You see a green block, you press the green button, and then go through those blocks. But for some people, especially at events, you know, you ain't got time to look at the tutorial, or you can't, you know, you don't pause it and you look at the controls. So we thought that by having this easy mode, if the blocks stop you, so you can't advance any further, when you press the button, you'll notice, oh, I've just gone through that. So, you know, in a way, you're automatically figuring out the puzzle, and you know you're learning. Your brain saying, yes, this is what you need to do to get through this section. So then you start sort of learning the where the buttons are, and it's once you've got that muscle memory, so you don't have to look at the controller anymore. that's when you start getting the best scores, because you can play on insane, you know exactly where everything is, and you're just sort of cruising through the whole game. And that is when, you know, when it gets to insane mode, it's not only just furiously hard, it's furiously fun as well, because, you know, you get so much enjoyment from passing the level. And people that are watching, it's just those moments that, you know, there's this, you're so close, you're so close. You know, those moments are just always, you know, really, really, really cool. And I also feel that, you know, it sort of brings about that sense of how games were back in the days, where you didn't have memory cards and stuff like that, so you sort of had to, you know, beat a section in one go, and when you did, you just felt so awesome for doing it, and, you know, I want everyone to feel awesome, so...
Can I just say I absolutely do not miss needing memory cards?
Yeah.
I'm so glad those things are gone.
I'll never make a game now that you can't save, but, you know, to at least... Do a level and have to get through a whole level in one go. Definitely.
This game needs how many fucking blocks to save? Jesus. It was, what the hell? The one basketball game on the GameCube, when it launched, it needed more than the Nintendo memory card had. So you had to buy a third-party memory card to play that game.
Yeah,
I don't miss those days.
I skipped over the GameCube.
The good best system. Memory card that took one was the Dreamcast, because you had that little game on.
I love the Dreamcast.
The VMU. I love that thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
So a quick question. I know you talked about it during the Xbox stream earlier today, and I think it was because of my comments in the chat, but I did want to ask it here. You mentioned the colors of the buttons matching the colored bricks on the screen. What are you doing to address people who are colorblind? Because one of our friends in a stream that we visit frequently, his name is Cully. He was super bummed because he's colorblind, and when he was watching our streamer friend Shiz Blacka play the game, he couldn't tell what blocks were which.
As I was saying there, is that, again, this was the something that I hadn't thought about. Obviously, people just don't go around shouting out, I'm colorblind. So it's not, you know, something that, you know, is sort of on the front of your brain type thing. But when someone came up to me at an event and was like, oh, man, I can't see, I don't get what's going on because I'm colorblind, you know, when I'm explaining the game to them and stuff like that. The guy from, you know, the official Xbox, YouTube stuff, he's colorblind, so it was fun watching him play the game. So when I started, you know, googling colorblindness and stuff like that, there's different variations of it. So, you know, if I just sort of try to just rush it just to get it in the game, just so I can try and get more cells and stuff, I know I would have messed it up, and then I'd look, you know, really silly for it, and, you know, then it would probably end up on some website somewhere, you know, Google does not know what the hell colorblind, you know, how to, you know, cater to that. So the idea was to not rush it. It's going to come out in an update, and we're probably going to try and do, like, use symbols and stuff like that.
So you just want to make sure it's done right and not half-assed.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
And again, with the symbols, obviously, I don't want, because I just think it would look really weird if you got like loads of X's and stuff like that across the screen, and A's and B's and Y's. So I definitely want to get some good artwork that represents each sort of face button, and, you know, just get it right, because I want to be known for, you know, attempting to do things and attempting to do them right. And again, I'm not going to make out like, you know, the game's perfect in any sort of way. But I just didn't want to end up on a website article of any sort for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, so, it makes sense to want to make sure you do it right instead of doing a half-assed job or getting...
I actually found out that, you know, some of like gaming friends that got a place called Game City where they have the National Video Arcade and stuff like that. There's one girl there, and she said she's, you know, she's colorblind, so she's like, she'll, you know, definitely work with me on this, and so at least I know I've got someone I can sort of go and take a build to and say, look, is this right? You know, does this address everything that needs to be addressed and stuff like that? So yeah, definitely it's going to be addressed, but, you know, it's just a case of just wanting to do it right and stuff like that. And as I say, this has been a whole learning experience for myself. So, you know, I don't have a PR team or anything like that that can, you know, that has all the answers and stuff like that. So a lot of things I am sort of learning as I go along, and things like this is you know, a very big area that sort of I'm going to be tackling. So yeah.
Nice. Good to hear that you're at least working on it. I know you mentioned that there's no demo for the game. Have you considered doing like a time trial, like a half hour trial for the game?
I mean, again, now that the game's out, it sort of opens up that sort of option, because the hardest thing with making a game is finishing it. That last sort of like 5% is basically, they always say, is the hardest, 90%. So now that the game's finished and stuff like that, I can actually, you know, talk with Xbox and say, look, is there a possibility to get a demo out there and stuff like that. Obviously, you got to be careful, because there's some people that do demos where you got an hour to play or whatever. And potentially, if you're like crazy, you could try and blitz the whole game in an hour. You probably won't get everything, but you could get a good chunk of it. So
yeah,
it's sort of thinking of the best way to give a demo to users.
I'm trying to remember. I think the game No Time to Explain had like a 15 or 20 minute long time trial to it, which I thought was a perfect amount of time to get a feel for the game. And after I played it, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get this. And personally, I would love to see Gear Gauntlet have some kind of trial like that, because trials allow achievements. And I want to hear the entire Xbox community scream out in pain when they download a free trial and get a 1-point achievement.
I forgot about that.
Do you know what, again, as I say, it's a learning experience, and at the time it was like, this would be really funny, but there'll be that achievement for the 99 problems, which are basically where you got the you beat Gauntlet mode within 99 lives and stuff, and I was like, just to troll it, let's have an achievement where you literally get just 1 point.
I love it.
Stuff like that.
I but love it.
To people, this is like ultimate sin. It's just like, how can you do that? You mess up my perfect achievements, and I've never been an achievement person. So yeah, it was just I just play a game just to have fun. So
yeah, every time a game comes out with like an achievement that's worth 3 or worth 2, I love it, because I don't care what number my achievement gamer score ends in, and if you're a true gamer and you're a true completionist, you're gonna get 1,000 on the game anyway, so just shut the fuck up and get all the achievements.
And as I say, you know, it's hard to get, you know, the 1,000 gamer score, but as you say, if you're a real gamer, you're gonna push through that.
If you're like me, you're just going to live with the consequences.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's why I made it so that you get achievements for breaking the blocks, because that is part of the game. You have to do it. There's no way around that. So, you know, some of the achievements are put in places where the users are going to be doing it anyways. So, you know, so we're getting achievements for just playing the game. And that is, at the end of the day, what a game is all about, being played. So
indeed. It's not about earning a game, an achievement that only ends in a zero or a five.
The really, really hard ones, like get S rank on every single level. That is hard, even for myself.
Yeah, but I'm never going to get that one.
It can be done.
I do appreciate that you retweeted the picture I took of me flipping off that achievement.
Yeah, oh man, it's like when you make a rage game, you get so many people, you know, sending you pictures of like you say, you know, flipping the bird, and you get people sending me like gifts of people going like crazy and stuff like that. What did I have today? I had one of I think it was a Star Trek one. And it said, let the hate those. What was it? Star Wars, not Star Trek. And it said, let the hate flow through. This is what I love about game development, these sort of interactions with people. And that's why, I mean, this game has been special for me because I made it out of sort of love and passion. Of games and, you know, of the style of games that I was into. And I didn't say I'm making Gear Gauntlet because I want to make loads of money or anything like that. And that is clear from the fact that I've funded this, you know, with I call it pocket money, but, you know, just you know, bits of money and stuff like that. It's never been about trying to quit my job and stuff like that. It's just always been about, you know, trying to make a very nice game that, you know, is kind of true to my vision. I think I've done that, and, you know, hopefully it's going to resonate with a lot of people and they're going to really like it.
No, I think you've absolutely succeeded in making a good game. So I give major props to you.
And silence.
There's four other people on here. I want to make sure that other people have a chance to talk. I feel like I'm the only one asking questions. Pappy, say something.
I asked questions.
No, I'm good.
Well, we are creeping up on an hour here, so I'm not sure. Is there anything else that you want to discuss about Gear Gauntlet?
Just that, as I said, I'll be introducing at least one update, which should have this new mode, which again is very highly addictive. I just like making games that are, you know, addictive, because I just want people to keep playing them. So we will keep
an eye out for the new addictive mode. We'll keep an eye out for the Rocket League crossover. We're going to keep an eye out for the Rock Band crossover, which you...
I welcome any other developers to sort of either, you know, let me use some of their assets within the game just to, you know, just jazz it up on stuff like that, or maybe as other skins for the COG.
You've got to hit up Yacht Club and find a way to get Shovel Knight in there, because it's all about like breaking up blocks and shovels. It seems like a perfect match.
Well, exactly. You know what I mean? I don't know if they've done some collaborations with some people, or, you know, or even, you know, imagine that, having the character from Super Meat Boy in there.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That'd be cool. But, you know, I'd love to do some kind of cross collaboration and stuff like that. Maybe I might even go and make a few characters to put into iDub and stuff like that. That would obviously be really cool and stuff like that. So, you know, I'd definitely love to see that. But yeah, as I was saying, you know, you got this update. It's gonna have this game mode in it. That's definitely gonna happen. And the rest is, I guess, you know, just depending on how the game goes, really. I suppose the Nana Games Live, you're going to get Metacritic. And I tend to say I'm not too bothered about Metacritic. As long as people are enjoying the game, that's all I care about. I never go by Metacritic. They you know, didn't give Quantum Break a very good score. But to me, I think the game's amazing. So,
well, everyone I have talked to so far, or everyone that I've seen playing it or streaming it, has absolutely loved it. So I think you've definitely hit something good here.
Yeah, and that's why I've already started thinking about ideas that either could be put in as an update, or potentially for a second gig corner.
Microtransactions. You're out of lives. Would you like to buy a life pack?
Well, that would end me with the game.
There was actually going to be a slight RPG sort of element in Gigolit, but I ended up taking it out because I was going to have some kind of power-ups and stuff, which you got through leveling up and stuff like that. And it would also allow for people to see sort of if you're good or not, because every time you died, it would sort of go down, and if you did good, like it would sort of boost up your thing and stuff like that. So that potentially could come back. So people that are still finding the game hard, I may actually bring back the power ups, which will make the game actually a lot easier.
Again, there you go, Pappy.
Yeah, I still suck at it.
So yeah, but it just all depends. But I know Steve's already started, you know, googling some new levels and stuff like that. And like I said, that you know, we've got some levels that you know, got taken out of the game because they were too hard and stuff like that. So yeah, the Universal Gear Gauntlet is I guess just starting really, and we'd love to see it grow. So people out there, help us grow.
Indeed. Well, Jay, I know you have had a super busy day, and it is like 2 a.m. for you right now. So we are going to let you get going. We're going to let you get some sleep and relax for once. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on a few months ago and having you back on today, finally seeing this game coming out and letting us be a part of the release and everything else. Good luck to you with the game. Keep us updated on any kind of updates or patches or guitar modes or anything else that comes through. And do you have any final words for our listeners?
Yeah, go out and buy Gear Gauntlet. Support the little guys. $9.99 in the States, $7.99 in the UK. And yeah, just send me those pictures of you raging and any video. Rage. I'd love to make a sort of a rage montage. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Where can people get in touch with you?
People can get in touch with me mainly on Twitter. I'm at Bites of Chicken. That's Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. Yeah, you know, come say hi to me on there. I love engaging with people. And yeah, just come along and like I say, shoot me any pictures or any screenshots, anything like that. And at the moment, I am busy, so you know, bear with me if I don't respond straight away. But yeah, come find me on Twitter.
Tweet him all the middle fingers. All right, Jay, thanks again for joining us. You have yourself a good night.
I'm going
to bed. Take care.
Right, see you guys.
Have a good one.
Oh, man. Good times. So
yeah, part of the reason I'm not talking is that this is the shittiest connection we've had in a long time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's because all of us are on it.
Yeah. We have 4 overloads Skype because it's shit.
I haven't really had any problems on my end, but
the host suffers the least.
I'm gonna take off because I actually kind of want to watch this debate right now. So
no, you got to do something first.
Why?
RBI Baseball, developed and published by Major League Baseball Advanced Media. It released March 29th for 1999, and Chris, you have a review for us.
I do. So I started playing it a couple days ago. I actually played the previous iteration on Xbox One, RBI Baseball 2015. Now I have to lead with this because it was my initial reaction to playing this. So I launched 2016. I got through the menu system and all that kind of stuff, and I paused for a second because I'm like, did I launch the right game? Because I feel like I didn't launch the right game. So I went back out. I went back out to the main menu where my games and apps were, and I went back into my collection, and I made sure to go to 2016, and I clicked on it, and I got into the game, and it was 2016. The menus were correct, but the music was the same. The menus looked pretty much the same. There weren't any new options. So then I was like, okay, well, maybe it's a little bit different once I get into the actual game. So I went through the menus and I started my season and I got into the game, and it's a little different, but not by much. If you have the previous game, you have 2015, 2016 is essentially the exact same one. It's exactly the same thing.
Just reskinned it and called it a day.
Yes. So, like, literally, like, the music is exactly the same. Like, the menus are pretty much the same. And now, granted, I thought, okay, well, maybe the new version has an updated roster, and you have to get it so that you can get the updated roster. And granted, now the game that we are talking about, they're only asking $20. So it's not a super expensive game. And a lot of people will buy the new Madden, and arguably the new Madden and FIFA and all those. They're pretty much the same game every time. They do make some minor incremental changes from year to year.
My understanding of Madden is that they find out what people like the most last year and remove it from this year's.
Basically.
Pretty much. So, yeah, that sounds pretty accurate.
So, I mean, it's only a $20 game. So let's, you know, keep this in mind while I'm telling you this. I went back to the 2015, and I went to see if I can just get an updated roster. And you can. So, so if you own 2015, there's literally no reason to buy 2016. With that out of the way, the game itself, if you haven't played it before, it kind of plays like almost like a Bases Loaded, Super Bases Loaded. It's very reminiscent of, like, older style baseball games. Very simplistic. The controls are very simple. If you're looking for, like, a very, like, statistic, realistic type of baseball experience, you're not going to get it from this. However, if you want to just kind of, like, hop in, play some games, have some fun, this is an easy enough game that anybody could pretty much pick it up and play. So that is an advantage. And it's not to say that the game plays badly. I purchased 2015 on my own volition. And the game is good. I definitely got my money's worth out of it. So the game is fun. And there is something to be said, obviously, because, like, baseball is technically America's favorite pastime. At its core, it's still a game. So even if you're not, like, a huge fan of baseball, you don't really have to be able to play this. Because it's not like, oh, well, the batter's a little bit off center of the plate, so I should throw a curveball because he's a right-handed. Like, don't think that much into it. It's just throw the ball, try and hit it, try and catch it. That's it. Like, just think absolute, like, basic.
It's basically NES-style baseball, but with modern graphics.
Yeah, it's meant to look a lot better. Obviously, the camera angles, it pretty much just sticks to a couple. So it's not super flashy, but it's flashy enough that you don't have to be like, oh, this looks like crap.
Yeah.
the songs are catchy, so the sound isn't like horrible, but it does get very repetitive, and especially if you played the earlier year, like.
Yeah, especially if they just extended their license and didn't try and get more music on there.
Well, it's not like it's licensed music. Yeah. It's just.
Well, I mean, like I know the melodies at this point because I played it enough, but.
it's not a bad game, but if you have the previous iteration, there's really no reason to get it.
Exactly. Now, I think overall, my be-all, end-all critique, I would say if you do not have the previous iteration, I would not buy it. However, even if you're just
slightly
curious...
If you do not have the previous one?
Or I'm sorry, if you do have the previous one, I would not buy it. Okay. However, if you don't have it, even if you're only semi-interested... I think the game is good enough to constitute purchasing, you know, at $20. I think it's priced right. There aren't a lot of like there isn't really an MLB officially licensed option for Xbox One as far as like simulated baseball is concerned. Yeah,
this is the only option for MLB on the Xbox One. So yes. If I might as well chime in that if you own a PlayStation 4, you should already own the show if you're interested in a baseball game, and if you don't, you should probably just buy the show. This is
yes,
a lot more arcade style than it's like it's not an arcade style, but it's not a sim style. It's just a casual in the middle style.
I would say the best way that I could put it is it's a retro baseball game with modern graphics. Because if you think retro, like literally, like Super Bases Loaded, there are two control styles. There's classic and modern. Oddly enough, I actually choose modern, because I have had instances where I tried doing that and it didn't throw to the right base. So I would say,
for some reason,
just
my call just paused for like 30 seconds. So if you want to go back,
told you it was a shit call.
Well, no, it was the iPad. Like, I hit the button to turn the screen on, and instead it was like, oh, you want voice activation. I'm like, no, fuck you, I don't. So, if you want to jump back there about 30 seconds to where you were talking about the control schemes.
Oh, yes. So, the two control schemes, one of them is, like, one says classic, one says modern. Oddly enough, I tend to go towards modern. Modern is the one that is... like if you're on an Xbox One, A, B, X, and Y, those would be relative to the bases. So if you want to throw to second base, you would press Y. If you want to throw to first base, you would press B. In that kind of regard, classic is essentially you point the thumbstick in whatever direction you want to throw. I did find that sometimes it was a little inaccurate, so I would suggest going modern. Aside from that, pretty much it.
So it's I think this is our first ever split. If you don't have it, buy it. If you do have the previous iteration, deny it.
Don't buy it. Yeah.
But based on its own merit, basically it's a buy it for you.
Yes. Yes. I really thoroughly like I purchased this game and I used to play baseball, but I'm not hugely into it anymore. I think the game is well enough put together that if you ever have an itch that you want to play baseball, but you don't want to feel like getting like all into like this super statistical baseball type of mood, this is the perfect thing to do so. And even if you're just looking for a casual, like, hey, like my buddy's coming over, we want to play a game and we want to keep it simple. It fills that void as well. So
I'll say one downside is I wish the game had achievement tracking. There is like some of the achievements are to like get 1,000 RBIs, and the fact that it doesn't track how many you're at is annoying, but
that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You get a spreadsheet.
I don't know if it did in the previous one. I wasn't keeping track of a lot of that stuff. Yeah,
I know achievement tracking isn't a required thing from Microsoft. I kind of wish it was because of how good of a feature it is, but
that's pretty phenomenal.
You know what does have achievement tracking?
Your
golf with friends,
mom.
Which I will be sending to both of you tomorrow.
Nice.
Well, it would be more preferable if you did it tonight, considering I'm going to be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, I have money tomorrow.
Oh, you have to buy it? Why do you have to buy? How much is it?
It's $5 on Steam.
Oh.
Yeah.
But we're going to play golf together.
Yes. I'm excited. Hopefully Sunday.
Golf with friends.
Yeah. Golf with friends.
Yeah.
The downside will be we'd have to hook up Skype or something like that because, you know, Steam doesn't have chat available through individual games.
Yes.
But still. Yeah. Anyhow. We'll let you get going, Chris. Yeah, I'll tag you out, sir.
Okay. Yeah. I'm kind of interested in this debate. So.
All right. I was gonna fucking make you cover that goddamn game. So.
No. I had forgotten that we were doing that. So. Yes.
Well, you're gonna miss the contest. So get going.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
On an unrelated note, Joe. Eagles season just came out. They will play the Steelers week 3, September
25th. Yay!
So what are we betting on the game this year?
I don't know. It's kind of like on-the-spot kind of deal.
We got time. But yeah, let's do a bet this year.
We'll figure something out. If any of our listeners have an idea of what Pappy and I should bet on the Steelers-Eagles game.
And we don't go pure humiliation, like no tattoos, no wear a dress, but it can be silly. It can be goofy, by all means.
It's fun. It's not, like, life-ruining.
It's not the league.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get into other games that we need to review, I figure we could tackle some contests. I actually shot you an email with one of the contests. I figure I'll start with the first one. We were nice enough to get us a handful of Steam codes for Soda Drinker Pro, and we have three emails, and that goes with four codes. So it looks like everybody who emailed us on only like a day notice, all three were getting a code. So let's dive into them anyway. Dan Fan says, my favorite soda is the Cherry Coke. And we just asked you to tell us about your favorite soda. So
yeah, if there had been more emails than codes, of course, then we would have had to be like soda connoisseurs.
Yeah, yeah. But for three people sending in for four codes, yeah, everyone's getting one. So that's why when I hype out that we have contests, that's why you should enter, because sometimes it's not a big turnout because we don't have much warning, but. Hey, next email is from Laura Tran, who says, I enjoy a good old Coca-Cola. I also like to put a little rum in it. Thanks, and as always, drink responsibly. Pappy.
I drink responsibly now.
I know. You don't drink at all now. Don't fucking drink responsibly.
I drink things, so
no,
I don't die.
No, you are not allowed to drink anything anymore. Nothing. Drink dust.
What are you doing? I'm just sucking on this fucking orange. I'm not allowed to drink.
All right. Our final email is from Brian. No last name given. He just says 7-Up. Why? Because it always reminds me of my high school and elementary days, hanging out with friends, playing video games afterwards. Awesome email. And you would probably get a code either way. But hey, you're definitely getting one. So thanks to the three of you for sending us about your favorite sodas. You were all getting a Steam code for Soda Drinker Pro. We've got one more code floating around, so if we get one more email, looks like someone's gonna get it. Don't forget, you can email us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. So fucking do it.
With a T. Indeed. With a T.
So Pappy, I sent you our emails Mega Man Legends 2, PlayStation 1 Classic for the PS3 and the Vita, courtesy of the wonderful, wonderful people at Capcom, once again hooking us up with codes. We got three codes to go around, and I think we have, what, five emails here?
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Hi.
All right, let's hear them.
Because fuck languages.
Indeed.
All right, Stu Pedasso.
Yay.
What's up, SML? Awesome to see Capcom hooked y'all up with some Mega Man Legends codes. I would love to win a copy of the game because the Mega Man Legends series is one of my favorite game series of all time. I actually used to own the entire trilogy on disc before a house fire destroyed all of my goodies. Seeing the game get a digital re-release is awesome, and I'd be thrilled to get a copy of the game. Also, based on your last few contests, you guys are a fan of both insults and ass kissing. So the SML podcast is my favorite podcast on the planet that is hosted by a guy named Butter AJ, fake rock star and pop cover band, and a fat guy who can't control his cats from jumping on his desk. There is no podcast with that lineup of hosts that can compete with yours.
Very true.
For reals, I love the series, so please give me one, Stu.
All right. So, Ass Kisser.
Chris were there for the fake rock star in a pop cover band.
It's a very Adam accurate Chase. Description.
Adam Chase, which leads me to believe that stupid asshole is a guy that knows us.
Probably.
Anyhow, good day to you all. You know, it's not every day that someone asks you why you think you deserve a game. It's not every day that someone has such a great prize up for grabs. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the tales of my gaming prowess or the hardships my life has had, and this gift would make everything better. None of those things are true. What I can't tell you is this. I like Mega Man. I think he is a pretty stand-up guy. He most certainly doesn't afraid of anything. I would very much enjoy playing this game. Also, by golly, yesterday I just replaced the old memory card on my Vita as the old one corrupted, and I've been looking for something to put on it for approximately 12 hours. Could this be it? That's really not for me to decide. In any event, I would greatly like to play this game. I have a fresh memory card ready to receive such a generous gift. I will be forever appreciative of said gift, and frankly, I'm big fucking Adam. Have a great show, guy. But he just said guy.
So who's he referring to?
Well, whoever doesn't afraid of anything.
True. All right, so doesn't afraid and new Vita card.
And Big Adam.
True.
Let's just admit that that sways things.
All right, next.
Iris DeMero. Hi, my name is Iris. The reason why I would love to have a code for Mega Man Legends 2 is because I have played the first one and the Misadventures of Tron Bon, but I haven't played this one yet. I want to know what happened to the story after the first one. I am a Rockman Mega Man fan ever since, and hopefully I can get a code to play this one. Thank you very much for the chance. Had some problems with sentence structure there, but...
Good enough.
Brad Hall.
Oh, God.
Dear Journal. It was bound to happen, and one night it did. I came home from a hard day of fighting Wily's Robot Masters to find Roll gone. She left a note saying, "Sorry, Rock. I mean, Mega Man. Why do you have two names again?" Anyway, a girl gets tired of waiting for a man to come home sometimes. I was lonely, so I took off with Magnet Man in his magnet van. I was shocked, upset, disturbed. Then I made my long hair do that flippy thing and put on my helmet. She may have told me not to look for her, but damn it, I needed those magnet missiles to take on Metal Man. I didn't know where to go, but fortunately Magnet left a trail of party snacks behind, so of course I followed them. Several hours later, I saw his two Doc Robot doppelgangers, Better Man and Nothing Man. The trick is to get them to attack each other as they cancel each other out. So I stepped between them, they turned, shot at me, I ducked, and they hit each other. Piece of cake. I made my way into the building and heard laughter. I readied my Buster Cannon and set it to the right weapon that would make short work of the Magnetic Terror. I turned the corner and saw them playing with me. On a PS3, no less. "What is this?" I asked. Roll turned to me and said, "Oh, Blue, another nickname? I knew you would come. That thing about me leaving was to get you to come out here. You wouldn't take a day off unless it was to save me. Come on, we're playing this cool new game Magnet Man picked up. It's called Mega Man Legends 2. Hesitantly, I joined them. I held the controller in my hand and played with myself. Wait, that didn't sound right. Anyway, I played this game with them for a few hours. Then I shot Magnet Man. I still needed those damn missiles. Signed, Mega Rockman."
Wow.
yeah, right? And Jesse DeRona. "Hey, guys. I'm throwing my hat in the ring for Mega Man Legends 2. I want it because there aren't enough bad games in my library, and I could use a bit more disappointment in my life. Seriously, though, I've always wanted to try one of those games. People are so divided about them, so I want to see for myself how bad or good they are. Peace out." All right, so one goes to Brad. Let's just get that out of the way.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that one, but
that's a better story than some of the later Mega Man games.
I just hope he actually has a way to play it, because I know he's entered contests before where he like doesn't even have the system. But I want Big Adam to get one.
All right, let's do Big Adam and Brad Hall.
All right, and then we have one more.
A third one? Okay, so we have.
That's why I said three codes.
That's Stu,
who's an ass kisser. Iris, who's a fan of the series, and Jesse, who wants a bad game.
Yeah, this is kind of tough because I do like Jesse just being like, "Yeah, I've never played it. I hear they're terrible, and I want to know for myself." Like that's kind of like, and then Iris is saying very, very straight up, like, "Hey, I want to know what happens because I haven't played this yet." And then Stu, who's just
an ass kisser.
Stu.
Man, out of the three, I honestly think I would give it to Iris.
Yeah, I'm not against that. Someone who has played them but legit wants to know what happens to the story, I think that's kind of cool.
All right, so you know? Adam, Iris, and Brad, you are three winners of Mega Man Legends 2. I am eternally envious of you because I never got to pick that up. So...
We'll get you a copy one of these days.
No, we won't.
By we, I mean you.
Yeah.
I'm not helping. All right, so the next one is going to be for Letter Quest.
Letter Quest Remastered. We have four codes, and we have 10 entries.
Okay, I kind of want to say, can we just get rid of every entry that didn't use big words?
We'll see. So let's start off with Tanner Tate.
Let me open up a goddamn Word file to keep track of this shit.
All right.
Penny. Y'all praise.
Oh, man. There's a good turnout for this one. I'm excited about this.
All right, and go.
So Tanner Tate says, "Hi, once again, I would like to thank you for the opportunity, for the chance to win this game. Why I should win, truth be told, I have fallen in the love with the little games, indies, arcade games, etc., meaning any game that's not a AAA title like Call of Duty and so on. I've been an Xbox gamer for about 7 years, and I never gave the arcade/indie scene a chance until recently. This will hopefully be my chance to repent those sins and mistakes. I have played a lot of the indie games on Xbox One, such as Night Squad, Rocket League, a ton of platformers. It would literally be too long to type, believe me, and I have grown to love the indie screen, and this gorgeous game has a very different and cute design and art I thoroughly enjoy just looking at the art. I don't know if that seems strange or not, but that's just how I am. I hope to be able to give the game a chance. Who knows, maybe it will be my new favorite game. Haha. Once again, thanks a ton. It's truly awesome that you give people like myself the chance to win these games. Even if I don't win, I'm very much impressed."
All right. Longest word, opportunity. Biggest words were repent and gorgeous. That's how I'm keeping track, because you said use big words.
I said big words get more points, but true.
Yeah, and
very
I'm copying
true.
The words that stand out to me as befitting.
All right.
Befitting next... of the contest.
I'm not even going to write any of these things down then. This one's all on you. So
I got you.
Next email is Letter Quest Remastered from David Brown Jr. He says, "I would like to win Letter Quest Remastered because it looks great and because it's a type of game that I would enjoy."
I'm not writing anything for that. Next. Hey, you laid out the rules. You were pretty clear.
All right. Eric Trill. "There are many reasons why I would want to win a copy of Letter Quest. I will list them off. Number one, the SML podcast really liked it, and I trust you guys, so I know the game is good. Number two, Eternal Rage is addicted to this game, so that's more proof that Letter Quest is good. Number three, I've always liked word-type games like Scrabble and Boggle, so I know I will like this game. Number four, the Bacon Bandits made this game, and I love bacon, so I know I will love this game. Number five, Digirati published this game, and I dig the games they publish, like Three Fourths Home, so I know I will dig Letter Quest. Number six, is five reasons enough? Seriously, I hope to win a copy of the game. This really does look like a game I would enjoy. This wouldn't sit in my backlog for too long. Thanks for the opportunity, Eric T."
Biggest word was reasons. Moving on.
Yeah, but he did give us a lot of good reasons, so I kind of like that one.
Yes, but the biggest word was reasons.
True, true. Next up is Nick Simpson. He says, "I have some very vivid memories of spelling words growing up. I still remember my fourth grade spelling bee. I remember getting the list of possible words that could be on it a week or so in advance, and everyone at lunch was just scouring over it, trying to memorize all the hardest words on it, thinking they would get them when it was their turn to be called on. I remember one of the words everyone was memorizing and practicing was Mississippi. Everyone was repeating it over and over and over again until they had it perfect. It was the longest word on the list, I believe, so everyone was focusing on it. The front runner to win in our class was this guy, Alex Montgomery. He was a straight A student and was always at the top of everything. He was a know-it-all, so everyone expected him to win like he always did. But when the day finally came for a spelling bee, it was down to the final four or five, I believe, me and Alex included. And he was next after me, so it was his turn, and I just went. And his word was Wednesday, and somehow he got it wrong when he got the S and the N switched around. There was an audible gasp from the rest of the class when it happened, followed by a stunned silence and a silent celebration from me on the inside. I ended up not winning either, but I still lasted longer than Alex, which was an amazing, seemingly impossible victory in itself. So I was more than satisfied that day, and I never again forgot how to spell Wednesday from that day forward.
Yeah, I'm always impressed when someone lasts longer than the other guy. I have a hard time with that. Decent use of words. Vivid, scouring, so audible. So some good descriptors.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
This next one is from Tembo Elephant, and I might need to just forward you this one because it is a pretty incredible one, and just reading it off doesn't do it justice, so forward.
Are you saying you probably can't actually read the words because they're big?
No, it's because of... I'll just read it off. Please help me. I need this game to teach me how to spell correctly. As you can see, this is a very real and concerning problem for me. This will help me immensely in my learning. Thank you in advance for your help.
I just wrote use of irony.
I think that's a pretty fantastic entry. I'm going to jot a note down for that one. Next one is from Lana Lokers writing back in. English has always been my favorite... English has always been my favorite subject in school, so I'd love the opportunity to play this game. I love the feeling of learning a new word and then seeing all the time soon after in writing online or in a book somewhere. Adding spelling to an RPG seems like a brilliant concept for a game that I can't believe hasn't happened sooner. Thank you for the opportunity to play this game.
Opportunity and brilliant concept.
And next one is from Shiz Blacka. He says, L. You get the joke? Heh heh heh. But seriously, I believe I should win this game because letters and I have a long history. I get letters. Letters love me. Nobody knows letters like I do. The things I know about letters would blow your mind. My letter people are the best around. If you give me this game, I'm going to make letters great again.
Shiz has sex with letters. Okay.
Ah, next entry. This guy is thinking here. Snuffbox not telling. I would love to get my hands on this, all caps, pristine source of, all caps, entertainment. I wish more, all caps, unique games like this would, all caps, release on the Xbox One. I'm excited to see what LetterQuest brings to the table. I hope it will be as, all caps, astonishing as it sounded on your podcast during that interview. I hope I could win myself a copy of the game, as a few friends have played that game nonstop since it released, meaning it has to be good, right? P.S. All of the capital letter words equal 62 points in Scrabble, as long as there are no point modifiers.
There we go. It's Scrabble homework.
Motherfucker did his homework. I dig that one.
All right.
Next up is Nick Nunn. He says, dearest purveyors of digitized electronic technology, I present myself to you a humble humanoid of simplistic means, so I hereby come to you today offering up my plea for an opportunity to acquire this fantastical recreational entertainment for my Microsoft machination. I would be eternally grateful if perchance the happenstance were to arise and I would be chosen in this stupendous contest. Sent from my iPhone.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9 already. Nick Nunn wins one. Because he was appropriately opportunistic.
Yeah, he went all out on that one. So finally is from Alex Cat. This giveaway is highly proficuous to me as I just so happen to be parsimonious sesquipedal.
Parsimonious.
God damn it.
Fuck you want to email that one to me?
Forward to Ross.
This is no knock on Joe, but the one thing I do excel at is wordage.
Yes. I talk enough, so big word me head brain hurt.
Fair enough. All right. This giveaway is highly proficuous to me, as I just so happen to be a parsimonious sesquipedalian who engages in circumgutuitous conversation. I have absolutely ebullient for this giveaway, and my cupidity is unbridled. You meant to say you are ebullient, not have. I trust your acumen in choosing.
Oh, you got fucking served.
I trust your acumen in choosing the winner, and hope I am seen to be quite auspicious in your eyes in choosing the winner. Thank you in perpetuity. So, other than a few
sent
misplaced
from my iPhone.
And for my iPhone. So, okay. Alex and Nick Nunn both win for meeting the actual question. Tell us why I use big words. So,
indeed.
Nick Nunn and Alex, thank you. From the bottom of my cold, shriveled heart.
I think I want to give one to Eric Trill just because they gave us six solid reasons of why they want the game.
All right. And then I would say, honestly, out of the rest, I would give it to Snuffbox for actually saying, okay, these words were all Scrabble 62-pointers.
That works. So, Eric, right. Snuffbox, Nick, and Alex, you are our four winners of Letter Quest Remastered. Everybody else, buy the game. It's fucking incredible.
Shiz, I thought you already had the game.
No, he actually doesn't. So,
okay. Well,
believe it or not.
We'll try and fix that for the poor guy, because a recent study found that Donald Trump actually has the speech patterns and skills of a fourth grader. So, Shiz, by using the Donald Trump style of speaking, you're telling me you have a fourth grade education. I don't know much about Canada, but I think that should be a little low.
I do want to tell people to make sure to stay tuned for more contests from us. I know, I believe next week we will have codes for the game Skyling Garden Defense from Mighty Studios. Again, that'll be next week on the show. So keep your ears and eyes peeled for our show and on the Twitters for information on how to enter that contesticular thing.
I'm thinking that one may be like a story about gardening or something like that, you know, judging from gameplay.
That would make sense. That would make sense. So let's tackle a couple more games to review. First one is Stories, The Path of Destinies, developed and published by Spearhead Games. It released April 12th on the PS4 for $14.99. This is an action hack and slash I don't want to say RPG, but it does have RPG elements. You are in an empire that's kind of being taken over, and the emperor wants a certain book, some magical book, and some kid is going to deliver it so that they could end the war, but you made a promise to their dying mother that you wouldn't allow that to happen. The kid ends up getting killed in the prologue, and you take the book and fly away with it. And that's where the fun starts, because
wait, you deliver a book to stop a war. Isn't that kind of the plot of the Book of Eli?
Maybe. I never saw that movie, but, the book is magical, and you don't necessarily find out why until you've played for a little bit. There are a handful of different scenarios you can go through. Like finding a part of a weapon or rescuing a friend or kidnapping the emperor's daughter. And after you go through five chapters, the game ends. Or does it? Because it was all the book telling you what happened. And that's where the stories come from, is that every decision that you make in the game branches the story into different paths and directions. There are in total, I believe, like 25 or 26 different ways to play through the game to get unique stories. You have to eventually find the four proper truths, what are like hidden secrets of like someone has feelings for you, or someone is a traitor. The one weapon is like super powerful. You'll eventually find those through playing through it. And once you get the four, you know how to properly defeat the bad guy and win the game to get the true ending. But you can still go back and replay through all the other different paths to get to unlock all the different branches and all the different stories, and of course get trophies and stuff like that. The game is your standard isometric view hack and slash, kind of like Gauntlet style, just run around, hack slash, do combos. You have four different swords that have different abilities. Like one has a fire attack, one has an ice attack, one speeds you up really quick, and the other heals you. All in all,
which one helps with your sweet breakdancing skills?
Sadly, none.
Damn
it! That's something you need to be born with deep down in your heart.
That's what I was afraid of.
The game is a lot of fun, incredibly, incredibly addictive. I kept telling myself, just one more chapter, just one more chapter. And then after I finish like six more stories, I'm like, I really need to go to sleep. It can get very repetitive because as much as the stories are branching, there's still just the same handful of areas that you're going to be going through with different routes, different paths, different text and conversation, but you'll still basically be going through the same areas over and over. For $15, it's an absolute buy it. I'm legitimately jealous that this is not on the Xbox One, because the game is fantastic. And if it does come to the Xbox, despite pouring at least a dozen hours into it on the PlayStation, I'll rebuy it on the Xbox. It's just a blast. Spearhead did an awesome job with the game, and they made replaying it and going through all these different bits of story really matter. The voice acting was fantastic, despite it being done entirely by one guy. It's basically told in a storybook sense, so he's narrating as well as doing the voices for all the characters, which is funny as shit. And some of, like, the first time I played it, I ended up killing the one character, and I was pissed. Like, I was like, I didn't want to do this, so I completely restarted my game, not realizing that I would have restarted anyways.
Huh.
So, it's really cool. I like the story and the twist to it, and trying to find all the different outcomes. Again, the gameplay can get repetitive based on the fact that the areas all eventually just repeat themselves over and over. But overall, yeah, I'd definite buy it for me.
Cool.
Next game is called Duet. It is developed and published by Kumobius. It released on Steam and IO. It released on Steam August 3rd of last year for $5, and it was out even before that on iOS for $4. It is a puzzle game where you control two spinning orbs that just go in a circle, and blocks will come down from the top, and your job is to rotate those circles to go through everything. Like if a long brick is coming down, you have to turn the ball so that the brick goes directly through them, or some things might be spinning and you have to turn them at the right way. It's very difficult to describe, but it's incredibly addictive. I would highly recommend that you track down a video of someone playing it, just because it's incredibly hard to describe it. I know you checked out a trailer of it. Can you think of a good way to describe this game?
Yeah, it's not the kind of game you want to play when you want to just relax.
It is very hard. It is a difficult, difficult game, but it is addictive and fun. For $5, I'd say it's absolutely worth trying, checking out. Again, I can't give it an honest, really good review because it's so hard to describe. And like Pappy said, it can be frustrating. It is not an easy game. So
it's a challenging, you have, not in terms of gameplay, but in terms of skill, you need to be thinking ahead.
Yeah.
You can't be, like when you're playing Rock Band on hard mode, you got to be looking beyond what you're doing. Or when you're playing Tetris and it's you're in the higher levels, you can't be looking at what's going on immediately. You have to constantly be positioning yourself to get through the immediate hurdle and setting up for the next.
You basically need your instincts to kick in with this game.
Need hand-eye coordination, and that's why I turned it down and let you play it.
It's only $5. If you got $5 kicking around, check out the trailer. You might dig it. Good stuff. I enjoyed it. So thanks to Kumobius for approaching us and letting us check that game out. Next game is Bounce Rescue, developed and published by ByteCore Limited. Released April 5th on the PlayStation 4 for $9.99. It is scheduled to come out on the Xbox One later this spring. It is a 2D platformer. You are a blob, and you have to get through stages. It's very...
So kind of like your life, huh?
Yeah. Very basic premise. It seems... very much geared towards a younger audience, but the difficulty doesn't really seem to match it. There is a normal mode and an easy mode. Easy mode is a lot more generous with, like, checkpoints and taking hits. In normal mode, if you basically fall into water or you take a hit, you start the stage over. And some of the stages, I don't want to say they're long, they're kind of slow based on having to wait for certain things to come along, and you have to collect everything to get all the stars in the level.
So it can get a little frustrating if you die just before the end and have to go all the way back.
Yeah, especially because the trophies only count on normal or higher. So if you're playing it on easy, you're not getting anything.
You're literally just practicing the game.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the difficulty kind of doesn't match the theme of the game and the fit of the game. The other minor gripe I have is because you're controlling blobs, they bounce when they move. So trying to get precise movements during a hop can really fuck up your movement.
Oh, because you jiggle?
Yeah. Or just because you're like, you don't just glide left and right, you bounce. You hop around.
Okay, so now it becomes a timing issue.
Yeah, it's just trying to make sure that you can line yourself up the way you want it. Or if you're trying to do a twitch movement, you might try to turn and jump, but you're already mid-hop, so you can't jump. It's just tricky little things. Even still, for $10... I give it like a hesitant try it, because if you're playing it on easy and you don't care about trophies or achievements, it's a fun game you could play with your kids or just a game to chill and relax. But overall, it just seems like it's more difficult than it should be, and the controls don't help it. So it's a hesitant try it. Check out a trailer. It might be up your... The game is gorgeous, though. It looks really good. Bright, colorful. I mean, 2D hand-drawn blobs and stuff. Like, it's not that hard to create, but it's aesthetically pleasing. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
But, yeah. One more game is Justice Chronicles. This is developed by Hit Point Company Limited, published by our good friends at Kemco. This is another old-school retro RPG for the 3DS. It released March 31st for $9.99. You are a guy named Klein, who is a new member of a group of knights who's sent under the earth to do reconnaissance on... whatever the people down there are. Shit goes sour. You end up getting trapped down there with someone who you thought was your enemy, but you're young and naive and you don't want them to get hurt. So you basically make a deal with the god of death to save their life. And in turn, your life is kind of on a ticking timer. that does, there's no gameplay where it comes into a ticking timer, but the storyline is that basically the god of death owns your soul, and you got to make the most of your life while you still have it. It's your standard RPG storyline of there's a war, you know, warring factions, and a band of friends has got to save the world. Out of all the Kemco games that we've covered on the show, this is easily my favorite one. It looks the best of the three we've covered. It feels more like an early PlayStation 1 RPG, like Grandia or Lunar, as opposed to just an older Super Nintendo RPG. It just, it seems to look and feel better overall. The story so far is really good. It has a crafting system in there. Turn-based battles has an auto feature to make things go quicker. The areas can get a little bit difficulty spike-ish, where you might want to grind a little bit so you don't get your ass kicked. But for the most part, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, out of the three of them that have released so far in the 3DS, this is my favorite one of the three, and I give it a hearty buy. I am probably going to continue playing this and see it through to the end, just because I'm enjoying what I've been playing so much. And it looks like there's tons of side quests, tons of special areas you could go to, and mini bosses that you could take out. The crafting in there to improve your weapons and your armor. It just seems like a really, really solid RPG. And buy it, yeah.
Cool.
So those are the five games of the week. We have a little bit of news we could chat about. First off, a reason to feel super old. Animal Crossing is 15 years old.
Fuck you.
Exactly. 15.
I remember my brother and his friends had Animal Crossing on the GameCube, and they printed out a list of every item in the game. And we're basically taking turns and playing for 24/7 to try and get every item in the game. And as they found them, they were crossing them off. So they each had a separate game in Animal Crossing, but yeah, as they found something, they crossed it off the master list. They Damn. Never succeeded. They were even, oh, let's jump to, hey, we're all off today. Let's jump to Halloween, you know.
Oh, man, time traveling in the GameCube version was a bitch with all the weeds you would get.
Yeah So Seth Nick's one, you remember Seth,
yeah,
one roommate, he would actually jump ahead like a week at a time just so he could maintain. Yeah, moderately obsessive in that game. They were all pretty into it, but it was the only damn game they played for like 4 months. So
part of me wants to fire up the GameCube version of the game and just see, like, we haven't seen you in 4,622 days. Where have you been?
We're all dead.
Just skeletons laying around the town, cockroaches everywhere.
Shit, I would actually hop on if they were like, yeah, we implemented a new thing where if you ignore the game for too long, a murderer comes in and everyone's fucked.
Hey, you're a fan of the Aliens movies, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first two, yeah. The third one was all right if you watched the uncut version, and the fourth one never happened.
Well, have I got some fun news for you. Aliens versus Pinball.
And now I just want to see an alien confused by a pinball.
Zen Studios is bringing a pack of Aliens-themed pinball tables to Pinball FX2 and Zen Pinball 2 later this month. I believe it's three tables, probably going to be like $10. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, still a better movie than Alien versus Predator.
It supposedly uses audio and voices from the movies.
All
so
right.
If every table doesn't end with "Game over, man, game over."
So what you're saying is I need to have someone sleeping in the other room, and then play this at like 2 a.m.
This might be a pinball table that you pick up and enjoy.
We'll find out.
Did you hear Fallout is teaming up with Forza 6 to bring the Chrysler Rocket, the Rocket 69 to Forza 6? Xbox gamers who have played either of the games will eventually get a code to download the car in Forza 6. So I'm excited for that. I wonder how well it drives.
Well, I'm kind of bummed since I don't play any racing games anymore. Where's my fun thing for Fallout? Like, can I have a fucking car in Fallout? Jesus Christ, please.
Oh, my God. If they get, like, the Ford, the 2016 Ford GT, how cool would that be?
No, honestly, if I had a moped in Fallout 4, that would be nice. So I could go a little off-roading on, you know, maybe get a pat. You know, you could have your companion sit behind you, and they could sit, like, back to you and shoot at shit. Shoot those asshole fucking that nuke-holding motherfuckers. Because I was always bad at sniping. So, shoot the hand. Oh, he's in the radius now, and I'm dead.
Nice. Fuck. Oh, did you get the new Fallout DLC?
I'm trying to restrain myself I'm going to try and wait like I've done for the previous two Fallouts and wait for all the DLC to drop and then start again in, like, November. Do a full replay.
I figured you'd be excited to cage up Deathclaws.
I know, but between, well, my lack of time and all the good games coming out that I already have, like Quantum Break that I've put 32 minutes into...
That's more than I've put in so far.
I got just past the. I finished more or less the tutorial. Like, I learned all of my abilities, and I finally got to the part of it where it's like, okay, now we're gonna concentrate on story and gameplay. Phone call, okay. Text message, okay. Phone call. Fuck. All right. Well, we might as well just turn the goddamn Xbox off at this point. There's no reason keeping it paused for 3 hours.
Yeah, and so. I have four more games to work on for next week, so that'll be fun.
I think I'm keeping... I got to re-update the spreadsheet, but I think I'm at 48 video games played this year.
Nice.
And it's April.
I'm scared to know how many I've been through this year. But anyway, last bit of news is two more games are now forward compatible with the Xbox One. The first being Monaco, which is the top-down 2D arcade stealthy game, which we should really try getting a game night with that sometime. That'd be fun with a party.
Yeah, well, remember, in May, I will be able to join you and Shiz in your stuff.
True. And then the other game is Doom 3. To make up for the Doom open beta going on right now, since it's apparently open beta season right now, with Battleborn is going on right now, Doom is going on right now, apparently the Halo 5 Warzone Firefight beta just started, next week is going to be Gears of War 4, and then a week after that is fucking Overwatch, so yeah, there's a shitload of betas going on right now, so... Anyway, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. That's everything I've got written down. My throat's killing me from all my talking this week.
Yeah, we've done a lot of talking, and it's been fun, but I'm going to go.
Yeah, me too. Music, probably more Chronicles of Time, because I have no fucking idea right now.
That sounds good.